Yesterday on the program, the former Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser criticised Qantas for not wanting anything done, he said, to assist two Australian businessmen who've been detained in Dubai for 4 years now. Matthew Joyce and Marcus Lee were arrested in Dubai in January 2009 on fraud charges, which have since been discredited in a Victorian Supreme Court. They have been spent some time in jail, including solitary confinement, beg your pardon. But most of this time they've been under house arrest in Dubai. Here's Malcolm Fraser.
There are other issues quite apart from commercial interests. I know Qantas has taken an interest in this, and Qantas has not wanted anything done that would disturb their relationship with Emirates. I don't really think Qantas should have been intervening at all.
Are you saying Qantas' intervention was not necessarily strongly on behalf of the two men who were detained?
Well, Qantas would have been trying to get people to do nothing.
That was Malcolm Fraser. And following those criticisms yesterday, Qantas issued a statement saying, quote, "Any suggestion that we have encouraged a lack of intervention in a case involving Australians in Dubai is completely inaccurate. Qantas does not involve itself in legal matters regarding Australian citizens overseas," end of quote. In a further development in this story today, the Australian newspaper has published extracts from a three-page letter written by former Deputy Prime Minister Mark Vaile. It's a letter to the Chairman and Chief Executive of Emirates. This letter requests the two Australian businessmen, Matt Joyce, Marcus Lee and their families, be allowed to return home. In his capacity as the patron of the Australia Gulf Council, Mark Vaile writes that both the Qantas-Emirates merger and the Australia-Dubai commercial relationship are at risk because of this ongoing case. John Sneddon is a Brisbane lawyer from the firm Shand Taylor. He's acting for Marcus Lee, one of the two businessmen detained in Dubai, and he's been acting pro bono for Marcus Lee for the past 4 years and is in regular contact with his client. John Sneddon, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
I understand you've been speaking to Marcus Lee yesterday. How is he faring?
Oh, look, the situation's very bad, Fran. It's no exaggeration to say that Marcus, and indeed Marcus's wife Julie, are hanging by a thread, really. They've lost everything, and they've now spent more than 4 years in this. It's like a pressure cooker of uncertainty, really, and it's taking a very heavy emotional and physical toll on them. I think for Marcus in particular, because he knows he's innocent, and, well, that compounds a sense of frustration and constant fear he's got that he could be convicted and sent to jail for a very long time. So I'm extremely concerned for both Marcus and Julie.
He spent some time in jail and, as I mentioned, some time in solitary confinement, most of the 4 years under house arrest. What does that actually mean in physical terms? Is he allowed out of the house or just not out of Dubai?
Yes, the phrase house arrest has been bandied about a lot in this case, but what it essentially means is that Marcus is free to move within the United Arab Emirates, including Dubai. He's not confined to the house, but he can't leave the country. His visa conditions means that he can't work. So although Julie can work a little bit, she's bringing in enough income really just to barely meet their expenses. So house arrest, it means basically that they're confined to Dubai and they're stuck there until this matter's over.
So financial stress is one thing, but also mental stress is another, and that compounds, of course.
Absolutely. The situation from a medical and financial perspective, it's terrible. Both Marcus and Julie are sick. They've got no medical cover as a result of their circumstances. They can't leave Dubai. Marcus can't work. They're exhausted. They've sold everything they own, their home and everything in Australia. And they're struggling to survive in a very expensive city. And on top of that, Fran, there's been a lot of personal loss in this case. Marcus's father and then his stepfather and his grandmother, who raised him till he was seven, they've all passed away while Marcus has been on bail. So both Marcus and Julie were unable to see their loved ones before they died or grieve their passing after they were gone. And, like, medically, Marcus, you know, he suffers from nightmares and insomnia and panic attacks, and Julie has her own stress conditions as well. So I've watched my clients really fall apart over the last 4 years. I think it's a testament to their character that they're still going.
Without going into great detail, John, I think it's fair to say that most of us listening don't really know what happened. Can you just briefly describe how come Marcus was detained in Dubai?
Yeah, look, it's a combination of factors, and the frustrating central theme is that Marcus was really just doing his job. Both Marcus and Julie are accountants. They grew up in the southern suburbs of Sydney, and in 2007 they went to Dubai, and Marcus was working for a property developer called Nikhil in Dubai, and one of his jobs was to prepare internal board reports in relation to the sale of property. And he prepared such a report, and one of the pieces of property in that report was bought by the Gold Coast property developer Sunland. Now, 18 months later, after the GFC hit, a Sunland employee named David Brown was being investigated by the authorities in relation to that transaction. And in the course of that investigation, Mr. Brown provided some statements, signed statements to the Dubai authorities, and they contain allegations about all of the parties, and Marcus included. And unfortunately, in the Victorian Supreme Court case and in a letter that I've received, Sunland and Mr. Brown have acknowledged that allegations insofar as they relate to Marcus are false, but the charges still remain on foot. And the DPP over there takes the view that until the Sunland or David Brown statements are formally corrected, they stand as read.
So what's the next step there? What is the next step in trying to correct those charges, and where is the legal process at in Dubai?
Well, when I got the letter in April last year from Sunland and Mr. Brown's lawyers, I got it a matter of days before our defence was due. And don't forget, I got that letter 3 years after those statements were made, so it took a long time for them to be corrected. We naturally changed everything and put it basically at the centre of Marcus's defence, and that document is on the court file, on the public record in Dubai. Unfortunately, though, in the minds of the DPP, it's still just a letter from Sunland's lawyer and David Brown's lawyer in Australia to Marcus Lee's lawyer in Australia. And what's required is for the record, that the statements to be formally corrected directly with the DPP in Dubai.
And how does that occur? Does that have to occur within the court process? Because I think Marcus and his business partner, Matt Joyce, are back in court tomorrow in Dubai.
Well, no. First of all, Marcus and Matt weren't business partners. They were both just employed by the same
company.
Your pardon. Yep, that's all right. But the way I've been informed by my counterpart, the lawyer representing Marcus in Dubai, that it's simply a matter of, it could be as simple a matter as a letter to the Dubai prosecutor or instructions issued to Sunland and Brown's lawyers in Dubai that he approached the DPP and explained the situation. It's not a particularly complex task from what I've been led to believe.
In terms of what's happening in the court tomorrow, are you expecting any developments there? Is that a significant breakthrough that something is happening in the court?
It is in the sense that, we're back in court tomorrow, and late last year the judge referred the matter to an expert for review, and tomorrow we find out if his report has been finalised or not. This will be the 39th time we've gone to court in this matter, so it's very emotionally tolling each time we do so. But we're hopeful that the report will show that the allegations, insofar as they relate to Marcus and also to Matt Joyce, of course, are unfounded, and that he followed Nikhil's internal approvals process and requirements at all times.
And if they do, could the then charges be thrown out?
We believe so. There's precedent for that, and we believe that it would provide us with a platform for us to apply for the charges to be thrown out, yes.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 8:15. Our guest this morning is John Sneddon. He's a lawyer working for Marcus Lee, one of the Australian businessmen detained in Dubai. Yesterday we heard Malcolm Fraser, who's close to Matt Joyce's family, criticising the Australian government for not doing enough. Do you echo that sentiment?
Look, we would always like more to be done, always. I do have some comments in that regard, but I should preface them by saying that we're grateful for the help that Marcus and Julie have received, particularly in terms of the access to senior DFAT officials and the assistance from the local diplomatic and consular staff on the ground in the UAE, in particular the ambassador, Pablo Kang. But yes, in this situation, there's just always this sense that more could be done. I think that the Prime Minister's recent call to Dubai's ruler a couple of weeks ago, That's been a fantastically positive development in our mind. I'd like to see a lot more of it. I think that this issue, it's been going on for 4 years, and it's now reached the point in the public mind, where it's just going on and on. It's a big issue, and the strength of the relationship between the two countries is such that there's no reason why the Prime Minister can't be raising it in regular communications with the Dubai ruler, Sheikh Mohammed. And there's certainly no suggestion that doing so is in any infringement on Dubai sovereignty. It's simply a matter of raising an issue that's of concern to both countries at a quite critical time in their relationship, obviously.
Have you seen any action resulting from that call from the Prime Minister to her counterpart this month?
Well, the call was only made 2 weeks ago, yep. So I can't say I've seen any direct, sudden sort of smoking gun moment, but I think that it's a positive development. We welcome that. We think it was the right thing to do, and it's got to be done more often.
And just on the Malcolm Fraser comment about Qantas, critical of Qantas, he says, for intervening. Are you aware of any Qantas involvement, any kind of Qantas activity to suggest don't go too far? This could jeopardise the merger with Emirates?
No, personally, I'm not. I mean, I'm sure Qantas and the Australian government, for that matter, I guess, would like this matter to go away, because for so long as Marcus and Matt remain detained in Dubai, their personal situation will always be inextricably intertwined in the public consciousness with the Qantas Emirates deal. But I'm unaware of anything, done by Qantas, either in favour of or against the speedy resolution of this matter.
John Sneddon, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
John Sneddon is the Australian lawyer who's been acting pro bono for the detained Australian businessman Marcus Lee for 4 years now. And just referring to that story, Cameron Stewart's in The Australian, about Mark Vaile, former Deputy Prime Minister. Mark Vaile has written this letter, and I'm quoting here, "Public perception of the Qantas-Emirates merger will be adversely affected if further attention is drawn to the circumstances. And this case of Marcus Lee could potentially disrupt the harmonious commercial relationship that exists between Australia and Dubai." It's 8:18.